13, or, yeah, where was that this morning? Luke 12. I'm telling you, one of these days, it's going to come a time where we will sin no more. What a time that's going to be. The very presence of God, no bad thoughts, no bad desires, no harsh words, no broken hearts. I don't know about you, but that thrills my soul. Amen. That thrills my soul. If I told you how many times I fumbled and, you know, trying to punt, I fumble. You know, and it's just, what do you do? Well, I'm telling you, just thank God for grace. Amen. Amen. Well, ladies, I appreciate the good singing. Amen. Fellas, thank you so much. Brothers, for singing tonight. That's a blessing. An old preacher down Georgia, he said this. He said, you cannot build a church on singing, but you can't build much of one without singing. And boy, I'm telling you, that's some wisdom and sense. And I appreciate the good singing we have around here. I appreciate it. I know a lot of folks are taking the hymns and tossing them out the door, but those hymns are old because they're good. They're not good just because they're old. They're old because they're good. And in these days, we need to have some good, you know, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melt in your heart into the Lord. And sure need to have those songs during the day. It's easy to kind of get sidetracked and sing all other kinds of things, and, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, singing rock and roll or country music or nothing like that, but sometimes you just, you know, get to thinking other things, and nothing necessarily bad, it's just, you know, but just the thoughts of, I've heard years ago people talking about the older, what they called the old granny women who would go outside, they would sing Come Thou Fount, or How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours, or A Mighty Fortress, or something like that, while they're doing the laundry outside, putting the laundry up on top of the line to dry out. It's like, man, we need to go back to those days where we have some singing like that. So, okay, I'll stop rambling. I was in the right place anyway, and I turned my pages. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 12 tonight. And let's start at verse number 22, and we're going to read a few verses. We're not going to touch on every single thing in these verses, but I want to be very practical tonight. We're not going to be extremely deep and doctrinal and give you anything. In fact, you know, a lot of times a preacher doesn't really give you any new truth. He just simply reminds you what you already know. And that's a lot of what we're going to be doing here tonight. So look in verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye that, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Father, I do ask that you'd help us tonight in these few minutes. Lord, we thank you for letting the singing point our hearts and minds to you. We certainly are grateful that you've been gracious to visit with us today. Lord, we're grateful that you have touched the singing. the congregational singing, Lord, the special singing, Lord, you've just touched Brother Artie and the girls and Brother Price here tonight. Lord, I just want to thank you for touching them. I want to thank you, Lord, for the richness of what we've sung, Lord. There's such great truth in what we've heard. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would bless our time this evening, that you would help us as we look into the Scriptures tonight. And, Father, just direct our hearts in the days ahead, Lord, and help us to take these things and keep them in mind, Lord. We'll thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we looked at verse number 13 down through 21. We looked at in our family Bible time here sometime earlier in the week, and even had some questions on it. We talked about it some at the house, and we looked at that, and we preached on this thought out of verse number 15, beware of covetousness. And that's what we preached on this morning. We looked at how that one of the crowd in verse number 13 demanded of Jesus that he divide up the inheritance. And Jesus begins to demonstrate what covetousness looks like. And again, we said this, you know, Jesus was a master teacher, and he did not miss the opportunity to take this man's rash demand and turn it into an object lesson and thereby teach the crowd. And we're going to get to that here in a little bit. We looked at the farmer's dilemma, where he had so much he didn't know what to do. I mean, it's something else when you've got more fruits than you have any idea what to do with. And that was his problem. Well, here was his desire. He wanted to pull down his current barns and then put his feet up. So there was a pull down, but a put up that he had in his life. That was his desire. But unfortunately, he did not even know the day of his death. And here he is, he's laying up for a future he's unsure about. And with that, not only his death came his destruction. We said this, thou fool. That's what God said was thou fool. That's what God thought about it. And it's interesting, you see that word I and my, I think we kind of like about 10 times, where he said, I will pull down my barns, I will build, my. But the only thing that man really possessed, that God said he possessed, was his soul. And he lost that. And it's interesting because God redistributed his wealth. And all that was in response to a man saying, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And so the Lord tells them to beware of being covetous, because the amount of things that we have stored in our garage, stored in boxes, stored down in the basement, line upon line, shelf upon shelf, thing upon thing, things we have, that's not what our life is. That's not it. And look, I am not against ladies buying little spoons at every gift shop they go to, little thimbles to represent every state that they've been to, little trinkets from every national park that they visited. There's nothing wrong with building memories. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is a bad thing when that becomes the overarching goal of your life, where all you are concerned about is amassing those trinkets as the most important things in life. And the Lord is telling these folks, beware of covetousness, beware of it. Now listen, if he's telling the crowd, and his disciples are part of that crowd listening to it, that is a warning for you and me that we need to beware of that. And in our American society, we are wealthier than anybody else on the face of the planet. We might go up to paying double what the gas is right now, but listen to me, not a single one of us is going to miss a meal that we don't decide to miss. I have never missed a meal that I have not decided to miss. Amen. Amen. Now, I know that years ago, you know, Little House in the Prairie, Charles, you know, go to bed without any supper. Well, sometimes it wouldn't be a bad idea to make, say, oh, that's terrible. You shouldn't make kids do that. It's not going to hurt any of us to miss a meal. You might as well say amen, friend. It's all right. Might as well say amen. We have this thing where we have so much. But if there's any meal that I've missed, it's because I've chosen to miss that meal. We need to be reminded that our lives are not defined by what we have on the shelf, what we have in the gun cabinet, what we have out in the field. Hey, listen to me. Not even what you have hanging on your wall. It might be a deer's head. It might be a diploma. Our lives are not defined by either one of those.
That's right.
And listen to me. There's nothing inherently wrong with either one of those. Amen. One of them represents that you went out and got a bag of meat. The other one represents you worked hard. You got a degree that hopefully helps you to put, you know, food on the table. So there's nothing inherently wrong, but you're not defined by that. We got to make sure we understand that. Well, here's the thing. Jesus has spoken to these folks here about being aware of covetousness. But now, since this parable is finished, I want you to look at verse number 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore, I say unto you. So what is following in verse 22 onward is building off of the parable that we studied this morning. And so what I'm looking at tonight is the other end of the spectrum. There is a group of folks who say, I am want all that I can amass. Everything that I have, I want to get. I want to hold it tighter. I want to hold on to it. All I want is, you know, my land and the land that joins to it. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm interested in. All I want is just one more dollar. All I want is just one more, one more investment. You know, and I know some folks have rental properties and all, but, you know, there's a man down in our hometown. He said every time he went with his boss was looking out the window trying to find a for sale sign to buy a rental property. I mean, that was what he lived for. Said, how much money are you going to make? He said, all I'm interested in is just making one more dollar, one more dollar, one more dollar. And again, I'm not against those things. I'm not against trying to make money. But here's the thing I want us to look at tonight. The opposite end of that spectrum is this. Beware of covetousness because people have. But what do we say to these people over here who don't have? You've got the barn fool over here who has so much, he's got to tear down his barns to make room for more. And now you're looking over here at these folks wondering, where's my next meal going to come from? You've got the opposite end of the spectrum. So this morning we preached on this thought, beware of covetousness. But tonight I want to preach on this, beware of worrying. Beware of anxiety.
Yeah, amen.
And if there's such a time that we've got anxiety, listen, it's happening over here right now in our land. And we're thousands of miles away from what's going on. And I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news. I'm not trying to put fear into your heart. But listen to me. It is just the single push of a button that can change the course of our lives like that. And with that, I want us just to think about tonight this idea of crippling worry. There are, you know, folks who do that. And I'll be honest with you. I don't see that in our congregation. I just don't see it. Thank God for it. Thank the Lord. There are, you know, God is not in heaven, you know, eating Rolaids, chasing them with Maylocks, wringing his hands together, going, what in the world's going on? He's not doing that. That's not who God is. In fact, when you look at Isaiah 6, he's seated on his throne. A king who's seated on his throne, he's not worried about anybody taking over his kingdom. He's seated, he's ruling, he's reigning in heaven. Amen. And so with that, I want to remind us that God is reigning in heaven. One day his rule is going to come down on this earth. Amen. One day it's going to.
Amen.
I mean, think about that. I was up here praying tonight, and it just kind of hit me just to thinking how that one of these days the heavens are going to open. John said, I saw a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head, you know, were many crowns. He had a name written which no man knew, but he himself, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven, you know, followed him upon them white horses. Amen. Amen. Preach that in East Tennessee sometime. Amen. Them old mountain churches, they don't like them white horses. Well, I like them white horses because they're in the book. Amen. So I don't believe in a white horse, preacher. That's fine. You get a shovel and wait on us to get back. Clean the stalls out while we're gone. Amen. That's exactly right. I like them white horses. The Bible says this. He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Man, what a day that's going to be. As soon as a tyrant like a Adolf Hitler or a Vladimir Putin or a Benito Mussolini or a Pol Pot raises up, that iron rod comes down and nips it in the bud. Man, what a time that's going to be. That excites me. That excites me. I'm going to be here. I'm going to witness that. I don't know where I'm going to be ruling with him from. I have no idea. But I'm wondering, will he have us all on Holy Ghost closed circuit television to be able to see? I have no idea how that's going to work. I don't know. It just excites me to think about that. But here's the thing. We're not on top right now. We're still on this side of it, knowing what's going to happen in the future. And sometimes it's the steps we don't know between here and there that kind of have us concerned. And so what I want to look at tonight, just for a couple of things here tonight, I'm going to just try to help us tonight. about beware of worrying. And I'm going to say this. I believe it's the end of James 4. Is it 4:17? There's, you know, how does it say? Therefore, whatsoever is not of faith is what? You tell me. If it's not of faith, it's sin. Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you tonight. And I want you to tell me. Is worrying the same as exercising faith? Answer is no. And if without faith it is impossible to please God, to please Him, when we worry, do we please God? Now, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. But sometimes we need to be reminded. Thank you, Brother Artie, for singing the song. Amen. Remind me, dear Lord. And with this parable, Jesus is taking that opposite end of, therefore, you know, some people would say, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. So that means I don't need to be worried. I don't need to be concerned about laying up and taking care of myself and all that. And Jesus is speaking this parable and says, wait a minute. And he says, take no thought for your life. Don't worry about your life. What you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. Because number one, here's the thing we're concerned about. There are earthly distractions. Earthly distractions that are very much part of our daily walk of life. It's interesting, in this passage, if you look at the parallel passage in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew is talking about, right before this, he warns his readers about serving two masters. We either serve God or we serve money, and therefore we're our own God. And so what we've got to be careful about, and someone says, well, you know, how exactly do I balance this out? How do I walk that tightrope? Well, there's no tightrope in serving two masters. You either hold the one, love the despise the other, hate the one. You know, I don't have the passage memorized. I apologize to you for that. But the point is, we can't serve two masters. And with that, that reminds us that God's people can definitely be torn when you try to do right by your family and try to follow God by faith. The faith walk is an easy road for me, preacher. Well, tell you what, I'll sit down and be quiet. You come up here and tell us how you do it. Tell us how you do it. Sometimes it's hard. Most of us don't want to go somewhere where we've never been before. But every time a missionary gets on a plane and goes to the place for the first time that God's called them, they go to a place they've never seen perhaps, but they go with the full assurance that the God of heaven has put a work in their hearts to do in that place. And they go not on blind. There's no such thing as blind faith. Don't give me that. Bible doesn't teach blind faith. Blind faith is a canard put out by an unbelieving world for what they don't understand. Faith is not blind, it is based on fact. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If it comes out of God's mouth, it is worth standing on. You can stand on it. When the world's on fire and darkness veils the sun, stand on what God says. Plain and simple. Believe it. I'm holding on. Listen to me. I have trusted what God says. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to heaven. Why? Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. That's what he said. Well, preacher, you concerned about holding on and enduring? No, I'm not concerned about holding on. I'm not concerned about enduring to the end. I'm not concerned about that. Why is that? Because I'm graven in the palms of his hands. Amen. Old woman lay a dying one time, and she had one of her friends come by, and she said, at this stage in life, I know you're getting ready to go and meet the Lord. She said, but I know that, you know, you're like me. You're not perfect. You still have sin, and you still have these issues that you struggle against. I know you profess to be a Christian, but aren't you worried about slipping through God's fingers at this moment in your life? And the old woman, she said this. She said, I'm not worried about slipping through his fingers. I am his fingers. Oh, yes. I'm graven on the palms of his hand. I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I'm part of the body of Christ. I can't slip through something that I'm already part of. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, you can take the Word of God and you can trust the Word of God. If you can't trust the Bible, throw it out, put it on the porch for the junk man to pick up and go ahead, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If you can't trust the Bible. But I've staked my never dying soul upon the words that Christ has spoken. This is where I've set up anchor. This is where I'm going to stand. This is where I'm going to live. And by the grace of God, this is where I'm going to die. Amen. That's where we come to. We've got to get to that place. And here's the reason why. Because there are so many earthly distractions that sometimes it chops away, it begins to chip away at our faith. And so here's the thing I want us to be mindful of tonight. There is a command, listen to me, a command not to worry. Jokingly, I know I've said this before, but jokingly, there's a preacher down south. He said, I had this woman in my church. She worried all the time. And he said this, he said, I told her, I said, ma'am, you realize that statistically speaking, 85% of what you worry about never happens. She said, I understand that, preacher. It's that 15% that's got me. She had to have something to worry about. And some people, you know as well as I do, there's some people, unless they've got something to worry about, they're not happy. I don't understand that. I don't run in that circle. I don't live on that street, so I don't get that. But here's the thing, the command, look at verse 22. Take no thought for your life. Is that a suggestion? That's a command. Take no thought for your life. Now, how do you know that's a command? Because what he's talking about are not desires or like to have. These things are necessities. What you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Now, we in our day and time, instead of saying take no thought, we probably would say something like this, don't worry. That's probably how we would look at each other and say, look, just don't worry about that, because worry is not honoring God. And it's interesting, the word worry comes from a high German old Anglo-Saxon word which means to strangle. The root word, watch me now, the root word is W-Y-R-G-A-N, Rygan. What did the old ladies do whenever they wanted a chicken dinner on Sunday? They'd go outside, they'd grab the chicken, and they would wring his neck. Same root word. That's what worry does. Worry strangles us. Worry strangles us. And if we're not careful, what happens when you strangle something? It slowly cuts off the life-giving oxygen, and it dies. You see, life is more than just our two basic needs, what goes into our body, that's food, and what we put on the outside of our body, clothing, portable shelter. That's what that is. Life is more than that. And if we get to the point of remembering that God is going to take care of those needs, these earthly distractions, listen, we work. The Bible says if any man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. That's plain and simple. Everybody's work's different. Some folks work hard, breaking back, digging ditches and grubbing all day long. Some folks have to push pencils. Of course, nowadays, maybe they just tap keyboard and all the rest of it. Some folks, it's different for everybody. But there will be some type of gainful employment where you are putting some work in, putting some effort in, where God can use that to bless you, to provide for your family. And so by that, listen, don't worry about where your next meal is going to come from. Now look, there's nothing wrong with getting ready for things. Look at me. I'm going to use the word. Don't get mad at me. Don't shoot me. I'll shoot back. All right? Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with doing some preparations. Noah was a prepper. Come on now. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. You want to get 5-gallon buckets and fill them full of rice and fill it full of flour and fill it full of pinto beans. I prefer the white northerns myself. But, amen, that's exactly right. But if you want to fill them buckets full of beans, there's nothing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that. I think his brother Michael said when he was down visiting his dad a couple of years ago, there's a 50-pound sack of pinto beans sitting over in the corner. I said, what's that for? He said, son, as long as that bag's right there, I know I'll never go hungry. That's right. Amen. You'll eat like your grandparents did. Pinto beans and cornbread for supper on Monday, and then beans and cornbread for supper on Tuesday, and then cornbread and beans on Wednesday. Yeah, you'll get the picture. But I want us to remind us that God commands us not to worry. There are so many earthly distractions that cause us to do that. And so with that, that is a distraction. People who serve God right now are probably, and you know, here, now let me just throw this out. Here's Brother Chris Hewitt. He's made an offer on that tent rig to be able to carry on the tent ministry all over the country. And part of it's going to be hopefully for a good month or so here in Indianapolis as part of our plan to reach the city the next couple of years. Well, here's the thing. If diesel is going to be knocking on the door of $5, $6, and $7 a gallon, shouldn't that be a sign to him that maybe it's time to back off from the tent ministry? How about that? So here's where the devil would tempt a young man like Brother Chris. Here you are, God is finally going to get you that tent rig that you've been praying for, but now you won't be able to afford the fuel in it to get to one place to the next because the economy is so bad and because God's people have limited funds and you're not going to make it and you're going to starve to death. Can you hear the devil saying something like that to a servant of God? Absolutely. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to remind you, listen, if David said this, he said, I've been young, now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, looky here, I'm copying it from somebody else, but if there was a biscuit in Hancock County, I get a bite off of it.
That's right.
Amen. God is not going to desert me. And if God deserts me, he's a deadbeat dad who's not going to take care of any of his children. Do you think that Almighty God is going to be brought before some other judge and accused of derelict duty? Absolutely not. He's going to take care of his youngins. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's not get caught up by these earthly distractions. In fact, there are some displays of God's provision that we see in the text. Look at verse number 24. It says, consider the ravens. And then in verse number 25, which of you taking thought can add a cubit to a stature one cubit? Verse 27, consider the lilies. So we're told to consider these things. A couple of these things, the two of them that use the word consider, the one in the middle there just uses that as an illustration. That word consider, I think you probably already know this. It simply means this. It simply means to think about. You chew on it. But listen, it goes a little further. You take into account when you consider something. And oftentimes that leads to that secondary definition, which is contemplating your own course of action. When you consider something, it ought to make a difference. You remember when the proverb said he went to the field of the slothful man, it was all grown over, all covered up, remember that? And what did he say? He said, I looked thereon, and I received instruction. Now, what did he mean by that? He meant that when he saw that man's fields covered over, looking bad, like he's as lazy as could be, didn't want to get out and do anything, he said, I looked thereon and I received instruction. You can build a brand new house, $250,000, $300,000 house, 4 bedrooms, 3,000 square feet, 2-car garage on 10 acres of land, and build it. Lock the door, walk away, come back in 5 years, and that house that's not lived in, what's it going to look like? Yeah. To look on the fields of the slothful, to look at these other natural examples that God gives to us, it's to cause us to see the hand of God in provision. And to be reminded that God will take care of us. Used to, when the children, this was back before the girls were here. So Caleb and Josh were just little fellas. We'd have them in the back of that 97 Toyota Camry. I think it was a 97. I can't even remember. It seemed like it was a 97 Camry. Nice car. Just had them velour-looking seats. And whenever the boys spilt stuff there, you couldn't get stains out. It's just the way it was. That's why it's worth paying extra for the leather seats, Mom and Dad. Just go ahead and do it. It's a lot easier to clean. If you can afford it, it's a lot easier to clean. Either that or just leave your kids at home when you go to McDonald's, okay? That's probably not an option either. But I remember we'd sit there, we'd go for happy hour at Sonic.
Yeah.
Cherry limeade she'd get, and I'd get that blue coconut water. Just like, oh, yes. give me some hot old jalapeno poppers and just sit back and just, man, it's a great day. And I would watch out. They'd put the tray on the window. Y'all remember that? They put the tray on the window. Take my food in and all that, having a good time. And we're just sitting there talking. I'm watching out over there in the little area where the other cars are. There's that little area in the middle. And people have dropped French fries and little pieces of the bun from their hot dog bun, hamburger bun. Never failed. There were some sparrow nests in the eaves of the roof there where you parked underneath. Those sparrows would fly down. They'd get a little piece of that French fry, a little piece of that bun, a little piece of that lettuce or tomato, and they'd take it back up to their nest. And I thought to myself, there's God using people at a restaurant to fulfill the word of God that your heavenly Father feedeth the fowls of the air. Amen. Here I am enjoying, you know, carbonated stuff that I can't even hardly handle anymore, and I'm sitting back watching those birds there, and I'm reminded these birds, listen, they're mobile. They're all over the place. But here's the thing, they don't sow. They don't reap. Watch this. Why did Jesus say that they don't have storehouse nor barn? Could it be that he just talked about a fellow who talked about taking those barns he had and ripping them down and putting new ones up? He said, these birds out here, they don't have any barns. Forget about the fellow who's got his barns full. They don't even have a barn. Watch this. And your heavenly Father feedeth them.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Amen. God has set up the world in such a way that the birds are fed by his hand. Isn't that a blessing? Drive along, and I know everybody thinks I'm crazy. I mean, it's a country boy thing. I'm driving down the road, and you look a quarter mile out of the way, and I'll say, boom, right there's a hawk. You can see it. Big, plain as day. My family's like, I couldn't care less. We've seen hawks all the time. When I was a kid, you didn't get to see a lot of them. People, you know, farmers out there shooting hawks left and right. Praise the Lord. Like, good night living, you know. And it's so neat to be able to. And I grew up in the woods my whole life. First 18 years of my life. Grew up in the woods. I saw my first bobcat in the wild. You know where I saw it at? Heading up to Jellicoe Mountain in the median between North and South 75. There it was trotting out of the woods. And I was like, looked at Audrey, like, that's the first bobcat I've seen. And it's right here off the interstate. Something ain't right about that. That was for free, didn't it? There's nothing of that in my notes. I just thought I'd share that with you. But are we not better? Let's look at me. I know the Buddhists take this. But are we not better than the birds? In fact, that's what Jesus said. How much more are you better than the fowls? Yeah, the Buddhists don't like that because they think all life is on an equal plane. Well, the problem is the birds, the dogs, the cats are not made in the image of God. You and I are. And we are much better than those birds. So God takes care of the ravens. Go on down there and look at verse number 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. Now watch this. The ravens, the fowls there, they're mobile. They fly all over the place. Well, what do? If you can't get from one place to the next, you wait patiently and allow the sun to come up, to shine down on your leaves, make food, let the rain come down, you take it up by your roots and you grow. He said, the lilies, they toil not, neither do they spin. And then he said this, and I say unto you that yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I don't know that anybody has gone up to a flower and their heart leaves them like the Queen of Sheba because the half has not been told. But if you were to go out in the woods in the spring, in fact, you've got people from all over the world that will go down the Smoky Mountains just to see the wildflowers when they come in March and April. Whether it's in the Smokies, whether you go out to the Rockies, there are places that you can hike back to where very few people ever go. No human eye will ever see. You come to a clearing, maybe up on top in the south, on top of what we call a bald. There are no trees. It's just a grass, open field out there. And you get out there and you'll see a flower blooming that nobody else is seeing. That flower is a testimony to the glory of the God of heaven, who put that flower there just to show you that he can, to respond back to him in beauty and glory, and to say that there is a God, and to show that God in the middle, listen, God can prepare a table in the wilderness for that little lily out there that nobody's ever going to see. He will provide for them. And if God will provide for that little lily who can't get up, who can't move around, maybe it's somebody who's shut in the nursing home needs to hear, you may not be able to get out. You might only be able to go from one room to the next. You're stuck in that place. Let me remind you that God can cause you like that lily to bloom right where you're planted. He can feed you. He can bless you. And as you bloom and as you shine, God can bless other people through you by the fragrance of Christ that shows off in your life to those people around you. Amen, He can. Amen that He can. So we see the displays of God's provision. And then last of all, we come down here tonight. And you look at verse number 28, and you know, if God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field of Mars, cast in the oven, how much more will He clothe you, ye of little faith? You see what the Lord's saying here? God's going to provide for His children. God's able to. The nations, the Gentiles, seek after all of those things. We see the distractions of earth. We see the displays of God's provision. But I want to close tonight with this. I'm going to close with God's directives to you and I. What does God say to us? What does God tell us to do? Well, number one, let me go ahead and just repeat what I've said. So my third point is going to be a summary point. Number one, don't worry. Don't worry. It is a sin to worry. Say, preacher, that's easy because, you know, you're taken care of and you don't have to worry about getting work and going out and trying to find work. Listen to me. If you don't go out and find work, there is what we call the trickle-down effect. So I am very much affected by what you do or what you don't do. I'm very much affected by that. So in a sense, I'm in the same boat as you are in many ways. But here's the thing, don't worry. Don't worry. So that's easy to say, preacher. It's not me saying it. It's Jesus saying it. Take no thought for your life. Don't worry about what's going to go in your belly. And don't worry about what's going to go on top of your body. Have you been to Goodwill lately and seen the stuff people give away? I have bought $100 articles of clothing for $8 and $9 at Goodwill stores. Come on now. Come on now. Amen. Amen. I've not gotten any, you know, Joseph Armani designer suits or nothing like that, but I'm telling you, I've been able to get some nice stuff at a Goodwill store. So don't worry. Here's something else. Number one, don't worry. I want you to look at the end of verse number 30. I want you to see something. And I want you to notice, it says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, the food, the clothing. And Jesus says in verse 29, neither be ye of doubtful mind whether God's going to provide. Look at the end of verse number 30. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. You may want, if you don't underline it physically or highlight that physically, you might want to underline that in your mind and in your heart. Yeah. Your Father knows you have need of those things.
Yes. Amen.
There is no worry in His mind about whether or not He's going to allow you to have what you need to have. Right. Amen. Now, my daughter, she loves that gingerbread coffee that they sell at Christmas. God love her heart. If they never make gingerbread coffee ever again, I will not lose a minute's sleep. I promise you that. All right. I like gingerbread. I like gingerbread, just don't like it in my coffee. I'll take a little sup every so often, but it's not like I'm just like going to wake up and be like saying there's joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Now, listen to me. There's some of y'all, I know Brother Nelson's not here, and I just preach right at him if he's here anyway. He loves me and I love him. But yeah, he told me, he said, I quit doing drugs when I got saved. He said, I don't drink coffee. I'm like, you just keep it to yourself, you old coot. I don't want to hear a word you got to say. Amen. Coffee's not a need. Well, for some of y'all, listen, coffee's not necessarily for my health. It's for yours, really. You know, you'll get that in a minute. My daughter does not need gingerbread-flavored coffee. She doesn't need it. And really and truly, we don't need coffee. All jokes aside, we don't need it. But as a father, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure not only does she get what she thinks she needs, I'm going to make sure she gets what she wants. If I can. Within reason. Okay? I mean, I'd like a $75,000 Dodge truck, but I don't, you know, $3,500, but I don't need one. I'll probably never have one. May the Lord let me drive one around in heaven. I don't know. I don't need one. Don't need it. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. I will be honest with you. There are times I have sat back thinking to myself, all right, Lord, the bank of heaven is not closed. But Lord, it sure seems like red tape is holding up the deliverance of my funds. Have you ever thought that? Watch me. Your heavenly Father knoweth, watch that you have need of these things. Number one, in that sense, God knows. And if God knows, watch this, it's not something that we want to put on to display to everybody. It's not something that we want to have just to show our parade around whatever wealth we think we have, or to put on airs that we are part of, you know, just look at me, this, that, or the other. But if God knows that we have need of those things, I want you to underline that in your heart, because that tells me that God, as a Father, is intimately acquainted with what you require. And if God knows that, is God going to be a good Father and provide? Or is He going to be a derelict Father and stand back and just be a deadbeat dad and skip town? We don't have to worry about God doing the latter, because God is going to take care of His children.
Amen.
Now, it may not be where we've got money coming out of our ears at the bank. It may not be where God just drops a brand new house and 10 acres in our lap. We'd all love for that to happen. It may not happen that way. But the Bible has told us very explicitly that God is going to provide those necessities in life to help us. And here's why God's going to do it. Listen to me. The barn fool said, I'm going to tear down my barns to store my fruits. I'm going to build bigger barns, my barns. I'm going to live my life the rest of my days kicking my feet up. He had a short look. You and I need to take the long look. What do you mean? Verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Here's where you and I have got to get. We are not here serving self to raise up a kingdom for ourselves. There's nothing wrong with having barns to store food in. Nothing wrong with having a house to live in. Nothing wrong necessarily with having a gun cabinet or a trophy room. Not a thing wrong with that. But we're not here to build a kingdom for ourselves, because we're not going to be here forever.
Right. That's right. Amen.
No, we are part of that group. Listen to me. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, these things we're talking about, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And what God's going to do, He's told us to do, is we need to be not so much concerned about ourselves, we need to be busy about the Father's business. God gives us the food, the clothing, the drink. He provides those things that we need. Watch this. Here's why. So that we can labor in His field, not in our field to bring up fruits to ourselves to put in our own barns, but God gives us the food, the drink, the clothing, all that we need to labor in His vineyard to seek first His kingdom, so that whenever the time comes, whenever we'll be able to see that, listen, where's my heart at? That's where my treasure is. You'll see where my treasure is. Watch my heart. Amen. You want to see what I'm doing? Where am I putting my money at? It's not going to be in places down here. It's not going to be going to the racetrack. It's not going to be spending thousands of dollars on Super Bowl tickets. It's going to be putting that into the kingdom of God. For one of these days, the judgment's going to come on, and there's going to be wood, hay, and stubble that'll burn up. But thank God, there's some gold, there's some silver, and there's some precious stones that you've laid up, because you have put your fruit, your effort into the kingdom of God to get the work of God going, to send missionaries around the world, to reach the community with the gospel. You've put the kingdom of God first. God's directives, don't worry, because He knows what we have need of, and seek the kingdom of God. The barn fool built his own little kingdom, and God jerked it out from under his feet in a moment of time. But if you and I will labor not for the meat which perisheth, but we'll put our effort into serving God, putting His work first, His kingdom, if you will, first, passing out the gospel tracts, witnessing to people, trying to bring our neighbors to church. Amen. Doing what we can. God is going to make sure that as we labor in His vineyard, He's going to provide for our needs. Now I can hear somebody say this, preacher, That sounds wonderful. That sounds good. But you're not in the Ukraine right now. And I will say, you're right, I'm not. But they have the same book that I do. And the same God who's going to take care of me is going to take care of them in His way. And it could be, it very well could be, that God will allow some of His children to be called home early in all of this. You say, I'm not God. They're not. They don't labor in my vineyard. They labor in His. They are His servants. What God does with His servants, He can do however, because He's God. But no child of God will go wrong trusting what God has said. Listen, you believe God. You trust God. Let God provide. Maybe some of us have too much. Is that okay to say that? Is it all right to say that? Most of us have closets full of nothing to wear. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how do I feel today? Is it a tennis shoe day? Is it a dress shoe day? Is it a dress boot day? Is it? I don't have boat shoes. Sorry. Is it a boat shoe day? You know, all those times. I mean, how many pairs of shoes does a man need, for crying out loud? I'm not going to ask that question about the ladies. All right. I know that that's a different ball game. How many shoes does, I mean, honestly though, how many shoes do we, how many pairs of clothes do we need? As the pastor, I try to have, you know, several suits. I've got several different colors and all that good stuff. But sometimes I'm thinking to myself, I know those old country preachers, if they had two suits, they were doing real well.
Yeah. All right.
Amen. I know some preachers, they have the same suit. They'll wear one or two shirts and they only have a handful of ties. Nobody says a word to them about it. And I'd say there's some people, they try to buy their stuff for their preacher, and he just gives it away to somebody else because he just doesn't need it. Sometimes it seems like we have a whole lot. But I want to leave this with you tonight. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't want anybody to break into our homes and take what we have. Don't want that to happen. I don't want us to just lose stuff inadvertently, you know, fires or tornadoes or storms to just, you know, cause trees to fall and damage vehicles and all the rest. I don't want that to happen. But at the end of the day, we don't need to be like this man, the barnful we preached on this morning, and have all of our treasure in a tangible form that we could look at outside of the bedroom window when we go to bed at night, but never be able to see it the next day because God took us out. That's why He said to sell what you had, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Have some earthly things down here, take care of life. You got to have that. Nothing wrong with getting a brand new rifle. Can I get a witness on that, Brother Price? Amen. Amen. Not a thing wrong with that. Amen. I love them lever actions. That's just, I love it. Yeah, forgive me. Nothing wrong with those things, but if that's where our treasure is, our heart's in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraging you tonight, don't be covetous.
Right.
On the one hand, don't hold on to everything, but don't worry, wondering where in the world your next meal's coming from. What do? We take no thought. We don't worry. We seek first the kingdom of God and let God give us what we need when the time comes. Amen. Amen. All righty. Well, I believe I have kept you long enough tonight. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to help us tonight. All right. Father, we do thank you. Lord, this is one of those messages, Lord, one of those things that we could just go on and talk about different areas here. But Lord, I appreciate you allowing us to be in this text, Lord, today. Lord, to set our priorities where they ought to be, to think about the kingdom of God, not our own little kingdom, our own castle, or any of those things. Lord, I want you to help us, Lord, with what we've looked at tonight, to change our thinking into keeping first the kingdom of God, Lord, and your righteousness in a practical way. Lord, help us to be mindful of that. Lord, I pray that you'd give our people wisdom in the days ahead. I pray that, and I don't want it to just be a cliche where I pray the same thing, say the same words, but there's no meaning to it. But Lord, I do pray for them to have wisdom. Lord, for our folks here, I know the times here where decisions will probably have to be made. Larger cars may have to be sold because of the fuel costs and all the rest of that. And folks like Brother Allen and Brother Bobby who are on the road and driving, there are some issues to think about, Lord, with fuel costs and things like that. I just pray that you'd give them, Lord, not just good business sense, but good godly wisdom to find your mind in what they need to do. Lord, I know that, Lord, our desire ought to be to please you, put your kingdom first, and that's what we've talked about here tonight. So, Lord, I pray that you'd grant them direction in the Word, allow them to allow them, Lord, just to find your perfect will in that. Lord, for everybody else here, Lord, it's all going to affect us, Lord, the rising food costs and things like that. Lord, I pray that maybe this would be the time folks would consider to just start, you know, putting a few seeds in the ground, starting small, even if nothing else, and just watch you bless, Lord. And for those of us who may not be very good at growing things, Lord, I pray that you'd bless the work of our hands. I pray that you would, Lord, not that we want to rack up that barn full of material that we have to eventually tear down, but simply, Lord, to be good stewards of our time and the skills that you've given us. And Lord, with those who may not have been blessed to be able to do a good job with that, that Lord, in the abundance that you bless some with, that we'd be able to bless others by sharing of that abundance, Lord, with our brothers and sisters, Lord, and neighbors who are unsaved, Lord, to show them the love of Christ. Lord, we do ask you to help us, Lord, and give us wisdom, give us grace, and Father, help us to be mindful of returning gratitude, returning thanks to you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the shed blood. Thank you for our eternal hope of heaven, and Lord, for the promise of your soon return. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.